This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. For whom do you pray? Most of us remember our family and others we know who are in harm's way or facing an illness. 2,000 years ago, Jesus prayed for his disciples and promised to continue praying for us. Stay with us today as we learn about Jesus' prayer and how we should pray for others in today's program entitled, I Am Praying for You.
In our text today, we learn that Jesus once said, I'll be praying for you. That's my theme for this Sunday's sermon. We hope you'll stay tuned. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God in heaven, we thank you that there are those people who continually keep us in their prayers. And we thank you that we can pray for others, the sick, the sorrowing, the suffering, and not only when there are days like this, but at all times, just to say, I'll be praying for you. But above all, Lord, we can hardly fathom it, we can hardly understand it. You have said, I'll be praying for you. We give you thanks, and we think about it today. Amen.
Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Who cleanse me from every sin and
friends in Christ, there were many times when I left home in the morning that I would say to my wife, this is going to be a hard day. A funeral for a young person, several very difficult counseling sessions, I'm concerned. And she would always reply, just remember, Homer, I'll be praying for you. How she lifted my spirits to go forth for that day knowing that I had a friend in my wife who was praying for me. Today, friend, it is Jesus who says, I am praying for you. That is almost more than I can understand. But with the Spirit's help, let's take a look at this marvelous text that is the basis for our sermon today. It is recorded in the 17th chapter of the Gospel of St. John, beginning with the 20th verse. Now, in this particular chapter of God's Word, Jesus has prayed for himself. And then he has prayed for his disciples, the 12 that he chose to be the followers of him directly. And then he prays for all believers. That includes you and me, and that's where our text is going to center today. This is a high priestly prayer. I hope you will get acquainted with it. Again, it's in the 17th chapter of the Gospel of St. John. Here it says, beginning in verse 20, My prayer is not for them only. That is, his prayer was not only for the disciples. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. So here he is saying, I pray for these disciples. They're going to have a tough time. But I pray also for those who will live far beyond their day. Well, 2,000 years have passed now, and I'm sure that he is still remembering us very, very carefully and sincerely, day by day, minute by minute. Just stop and think of it. Jesus Christ is praying for us. And what is he praying? He is praying that we may be one, that we may be one, that the Father may be in us and we in him, and that we may know one another in Christ Jesus as our brothers and our sisters. He wants that prayer to mean that his church, which are the believers in Christ Jesus, will be knitted together in a true, true unity. May there also be in us, that's his prayer, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. In other words, that the world can look and see that church, those who trust in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, they are different. They walk with us, they work with us, they play with us. They don't elevate themselves above us. They try to witness to us. They are different than we are, and one of the great differences is they are a unit, a true unit. They have become one in Christ Jesus. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. Now notice, I in them, that is Jesus in them, and God, you in me, may they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and see my glory. In other words, that we might have an understanding of who Jesus is and what he has done. The glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Tremendous message that is before us here today, where Jesus is saying that he's just keeping us before the throne of grace. There's someone, and that someone is none other than Jesus himself, who is praying for us. When we were born, we were created in the image of God. He wanted us. He needed us, and he wanted to be in fellowship with us. We were then created in his image, meaning that, among other things, we have a mind like he has. We have a will like he has that can make a decision, and we are eternal. But also that we are going to have that fellowship only as long as we walk closely with him. Well, we know what happened. A sin came into the world. And as St. Paul says, sin passed to every man, for every man sins. In other words, God now can no longer have anything to do with a human being, for the human being is a sinner. As a result of this, he sets up his plan of redemption, we call it. It's a plan whereby he is going to send into this world his only begotten Son, Christ Jesus, and on the cross of Calvary, he is going to pay for the price for the sins of the world, and through his glorious resurrection, he is going to defeat death, sin, and the devil, and through him, we are united in his kingdom. The kingdom that is here for us right now and known often as the church, the true church, the una sancta, the church that is bound in that one common faith in the Savior. Well, we have that relationship with the worldly kingdom. And I am so thankful for the fact that I can live during these years here on this earth in the kingdom of the United States of America. I don't know of any place, in spite of all of our sinfulness, that I would rather live than right here. For here we have had an opportunity to learn about our Savior, to be fed according to his word, to have our churches and everything else that goes along with it. But I am thankful that it is even more than that, that we are in the kingdom of God. He sent his Son, the Lord Jesus, and that kingdom of God is one. We may have some different feelings about this when we see how the church is divided and different denominations, but the church is one. Believe it? Let me try to give it to you in another way. I sometimes use this with my young people in the confirmation classes. Let's say that here is a man who has his eyes on a community that has about 4,000 members. And he is thinking about building a little factory there and employing 200-300 people. Be a great addition to the town. But this man happens to be a Christian, and he wants to have a town that not only has a good school system, but has good, strong churches. So he comes to the Chamber of Commerce, we'll say, and asks if he can be directed to a place where he will find out how many church members there really are in the community. And this is what he comes up with. In a town of 4,000, there are 500 people who belong to the Roman Catholic Church. And of those 500, 400 are believers in Christ Jesus. There are 700 in that community who are Methodists, of which about 400 are believers in Christ. There are 300 Baptists, which there are 250 believers. And there are 600 Lutherans, of which there are 300 believers. Now you say, well, I always figured that if a person belonged to the church, he was a part of the church. He is a part of the visible church, but not a part of the invisible church. For the invisible church is made up of those who trust Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And so in this community, there are 2,100 people who are members of the church, the visible church, as you can see, that was given to you by the Chamber of Commerce or whatever other institution it might have been. But of that number, 1,350 members are part of God's kingdom. And you would say, is it not automatically true that when I belong to the church, I'm a member of the kingdom of God? Not necessarily. For the kingdom of God is within the church. Therefore, we have faith in Christ, and that's how we become a part of the church. And not by joining an organization on a particular Sunday morning. That really makes us a part of the kingdom of God. The faith in Christ. Now, it is that church that our Lord is saying, I really want this group of people to be one around the world, wherever it may be. Regardless of the age, you are one in Christ Jesus. That's another very important thing. The joy of meeting our new brothers and sisters in Christ in different ways and in different places. But let me give you an interesting experience that I had. Many years ago, when the president was Ronald Reagan, I was invited to come to the Republican, and there's no politics involved in this now, convention, and be the chaplain for the day. And a part of that meant that I would give the opening prayer in the morning. So I went, and my wife was along with me. They met us at the airport and put us into a nice automobile and took us to the convention center. And there we were put in this beautiful, beautiful room in the center. There were not only flowers around there, but there were candies and peanuts and everything else that you could have help yourself to. And as Eunice and I sat there talking with one another about this affair and what was going on in our life on that particular day, a man came in. And I looked at him and I recognized him as the former President Ford. And he said, I'm very sorry that I have interrupted you in any way here. And I said, no, I'm just the chaplain for the day, and we're waiting to go out to give the opening prayer. But he sat down and talked with us for a while about his faith and about his experiences in the political world, and then he left. And that was a great experience. And then we went upstairs right to the podium. There we stood in front of all of these hundreds of people assembled there for the convention. The gentleman said, you are here to give the prayer? And I said, yes. We introduced ourselves to one another. His name was Howard Baker. He was a senator, I believe, from the state of Tennessee. And so he introduced me. And I offered my prayer. There were no stipulations as to what I could not pray and what I could pray for anything that the Lord led me to pray for. And so I uttered these very simple words, that God would bless the convention and the choosing of the officials who were to be responsible for what was happening in our land. When I got done praying, in which I also asked Christ to come into our midst and make us one, I said, we pray this in Jesus' name. Make us one. And Senator Baker turned around to me at the end, and he said, you are my brother in Christ. I will never forget those words. A very, very important leader in our land. A man who reached out his hand in fellowship. That while we didn't know one another and our paths were different, we were brothers in Christ Jesus. That is a marvelous oneness. Make them one. And so I got a new brother that day. Never have seen him since. Never expect to until we get to heaven. But he was a Presbyterian and I was a Lutheran. But we were one. It mattered not what else. We had a common Lord and Redeemer. There was an old evangelist many years ago by the name of Ira Sankey. I think he lived about the year 1874. For from his pen came this great hymn. And I'm going to read you just one stanza of it. It seems to say it all. I have a Savior. He's pleading in glory. A dear living Savior, though earth's friends are few. And now he is watching in tenderness over me. And oh, that my Savior were your Savior too. For you I am praying. Jesus is praying for us, friend. This is Pentecost Sunday. And as he prays for us and the Holy Spirit has come in a new way, we ask that he will enter into our hearts and draw us not only closer to the Lord Jesus, but draw us closer to one another. For that, Sankey prayed. And for that, we pray today that we may be one. Grant that that may happen, and we may sense the power of being a part not only of the United States of America, but even more than that, the kingdom of God that shall have no end. Amen. Thank you. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, thank you for telling us that you are praying for us, individually and as a church. Grant, O God, that in this day where the kingdom of this world needs so much to hear the kingdom of our Lord, we as individuals and as churches may really seek to pray that we may be bound together in a common unity. We know there can be differences that will separate us, but we know too that they will be erased when we get in heaven. But even while we walk here on this earth, help us to understand how important and good it is that we have our unknown brothers as well as our known brothers and sisters, where we are one in Christ Jesus. Amen.
You have been listening to the Christian Crusaders radio and internet ministry. We pray today's gospel message has filled you with joy as we remember how much Jesus Christ loves us and desires to draw us closer to Him. As a nonprofit ministry, Christian Crusaders is dependent upon the free will gifts of our listening family. With the help of our faithful listeners, we can continue broadcasting the most important news in history, the gospel of Jesus Christ. A memorial gift can be a meaningful way to remember a loved one and to help us spread this message at the same time. This gift may be of any amount and is used to commemorate a birthday, anniversary, or any day in the life of someone special. Please direct your gifts to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. If you know someone who might enjoy Christian Crusaders, please tell them about this program. Christian Crusaders is often particularly important to those who are ill and cannot worship in church. Sermons are available anytime from anywhere in the world on our website at christiancrusaders.org. If you would like a CD or printed copy of today's program, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. You may also direct your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and pray that you'll join us again next week on this station. Conducting our service was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, speaker on Christian Crusaders since 1962. Christian Crusaders is now in its 77th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.